We'll go ahead and call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for April 16th, 2024 at 1900. All rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. We'll open up the forum for public comment. Give them a couple minutes, maybe they're running late. I'm sure the rain probably pushed them off. All right, we'll move on to agenda review. I don't know if there's anything to add or delete. Otherwise, I look for a motion to approve as written.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the agenda as written. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. Look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. Chief.
Oh, good evening, Mayor and Council. All right, to start off, I'm looking for approval for this year's Zummerfest to use the park and the park buildings, as well as close down the road at Railroad and Henrietta for the street dance post Zummerfest, exactly like we did last year.
Council, any questions on it?
I believe last year we gave the park building to them free of charge, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a hit last year. I think we do it again.
There should be no changes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we look for a motion then to give the Zummerfest group the park usage at no charge and to close the road between Henrietta and
Railroad. It's like a quarter block in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make a motion to grant the Zummerfest committee use of the park and park building and close down the road from Henrietta to Railroad.
Councilman Poplar, second it.
It's moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes.
Thank you. Moving on, I know you guys, I don't know if it's last year or the year before, and looked to get some fire hydrants updated. The city was wonderful with that and actually installed a fire hydrant on Brad Street and David Avenue. There hadn't been one there since, I don't know, before I was born. So that's pretty cool to see that getting done. I talked to Public Works a little today, and I was curious if you had reached out to find out what it would take, how much it would cost, or what the plan is for the other hydrants in town that do not have the 5-inch large diameter connection on there. We are very close to having a house fire right across from Know-It-Alls a couple weeks ago, and it got me thinking that fire hydrant right across, right at that alleyway, along with the one that's at the community center and the one that's in the Bicentennial Park, are all these smaller hydrants that have only the 2.5-inch outlets.
Yeah, I think Jason's going to look into, he's talking to Hennings about if they can just like replace the top.
Yeah, I was unaware if they could do that. I was just hoping to, you know, kind of make sure we could be on some sort of schedule for that. I think there's only one more in town, and that's kind of on the David Avenue, George Street intersection. There's one where Larry Miller used to live that still has the small connections. But since we put the newer hydrant down on David Avenue, And there's other larger hydrants in that area. That one isn't as large of a concern to me as the other three, the one by the community hall, the bar, and in Bicentennial Park. If something in that area lights on fire, it's going to take a lot of water. So just kind of want to make sure we're thinking about that as we move forward.
What did it cost us to put that one in at Brad Street? Granted, that was a, installing a brand new one versus replacing.
Yeah, that was $15,000-$16,000. But that was what tapping into.
Right.
What's worst case scenario on these ones? If they can't replace, do they replace just the above ground portion of the unit?
I'm
best case scenario.
That's best case scenario. Yep.
And worst case, all the way down to the wherever it's tied in.
Yep.
Basically, so, the same what we just did, essentially.
Essentially, yeah. And I don't know, like, where the main runs down there off the top of my head. Like, the, you know, like here in town, you know, it comes off the road a little bit. So the main's like in the road and it, you know, is back off the road 10, 15 feet. If they can just go down to where it elbows to head back to the main, or if they have to go from the main back up, I'm not sure. If they had to put all new in, I'm assuming they'd be able to wet tap like they did on David Avenue. But that would be medium case scenario. Worst case would be they'd have to dig up the road and do some changes to the T on the water main and stuff like that. So I'm hoping the top can be replaced.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully for a fraction of the charge, but I'm not quite sure how that works. So
is that, Stephen, just mainly for hose connection and
yep. So when we
better flow.
Yeah. So when we hook up to a hydrant, that 5-inch connection, the volume that flows through that unimpeded to our engine will give us the most volume of water. When we have to run it through two 2.5-inch lines, even if we were to hook both of them up to our engine, we still wouldn't be getting a true 5-gallon, you know, flow, because we have it's a flow restriction, basically the friction within the hose. You're basically doubling it, so we're reducing our volume and reducing the pressure that we're actually getting to the truck. With that, we can actually, our truck can pump so much water, we could suck basically our 2.5-inch lines tight before we get enough water out of them, whereas the 5-inch, we can't do that. Most of the city's water mains, except for one or two spots, are all looped, so water's coming from different directions. So we're pretty safe on that point. And right now, with something happening there, we have a standard operating procedure right now in place that if we do have a fire in town, we would still use our drop tanks, like if we were to fight a rural fire. And then we'd hook to a hydrant as backup supply if our drop tanks ran dry, and we would shuttle water back and forth just because of the difference in the water mains here in town, you know, 4, 6, and 8-inch. Some of them our engine can handle, some of them can't. You know, we have the ability, if we really wanted to, we could collapse a 4-inch line here in town. So we don't want to do that. That's expensive. So, but I know we had talked about it before, and then when it came to that close call here a couple of weeks ago where somebody's couch outside the house lit on fire and almost took the house with it, I was like, yeah, that could have been real bad real quick. So I thought I'd just see where we were with that, or if we can still move forward, or.
Yeah, I'll have Jason check into, see if just the, you know, the top half of the hydrant can be replaced, what that cost is, and then kind of we'll get a rough estimate as to the cost of
each one. And then hydrant, if it's too much, we just do the ones that are needed the most, and then.
Right.
Yeah, and I would
the most trouble
there. I would start from basically the community hall and work your way east for as far as importance.
Where would that money come from if we needed to, if we chose to move forward with that, where would we pull that from?
Well, just right off the top of my head, I'm thinking next year. I'm looking at next year's budget where we're freeing up the debt. You know, about $40,000 in debt freed up.
Okay.
In the water fund from the
treatment plant.
The treatment plant comes off. This year's the last payment on that.
Okay.
So yeah, nothing really, you know, pressing with it. Just want to make sure we're keeping that on our minds.
Yeah.
Unless there's any questions about it, I'll move on. All right. Parking lot patching. I talked to Jason again this afternoon, and sounds like he had talked with Jeremy and William Mueller and Sons. They'll be in town here in the next couple of days doing some pothole patching. There's a low spot right out in front of our easternmost truck bay, and that's where our engine, our two tankers back in and drive out, our three heaviest trucks that we have. And the pavement was cracking and starting to sink and developing a water hole. And I have enough asphalt experience. I know that over time that's going to get quite a bit worse. So I wanted to be able to get ahead of it. And I know it's not a lot of work, but I just wanted, especially with the rain and stuff today, Jason and Jeremy were able to walk out and see exactly where I was talking about. So, yeah, just hoping to, and it sounds like they'll get it taken care of. But yeah, I had this on the agenda before I talked to Jason this afternoon. So, yeah, just thanks for getting that done. Next thing I have is, a few months ago, we put up a new sign. The fire department put up a new sign above our doors on the station. We're looking to get some more lighting on that sign. That big overhead light that sits way up in the peak of the roof doesn't seem to do the sign justice. So basically, you're looking for permission from the city. We already have an electrical contractor basically signed up to do the work, but it's to install basically be a 1-inch flashing over the top of that board and then an LED basically light strip on the inside of that flashing that would just shine down on that light. Being it is a city building, fire department would pay for all of it, installation cost, all that. Basically just looking for permission to put some lighting for our sign on the.
Is it possible they can do that with like a photo eye?
I would think so.
I think that would be the way to go.
Yep. Instead of on that's all the time.
Yeah. That's what we've been switching to now. Just putting everything on photo wise.
Yeah, I'll make sure that's in there on that. So.
Okay. Council, any thoughts on it?
Just get away options.
You mean?
Fire away.
All right, cool. Thank you. Last but not least, just a reminder that this Sunday, the 21st, is our annual Windsor Pork Chop dinner. From 10 to 1. I hope to see all your smiling faces there.
Is it 10 to 2? Or
is it 10 to 2, I thought?
10 to 2.
I got a thought. I still know it, but.
I had heard 1, I had heard 2.
Regardless,
we'll be here. Yeah.
And so, it's just a drive through, right?
No, it's eat-in, as far as I know. Yeah. Yeah. Drive through, all that stuff went away after COVID disappeared. So.
Sounds good.
All right.
Council, any questions for Chief?
Nope.
All right.
Another easy meeting.
Yeah, I'm going to hang out and listen to you guys. I missed you guys.
Oh, I feel honored. Okay, now that that's done, we can get to the really fun stuff of the evening tonight. Have our independent auditor give us a review of last week.
Thank you, Mayor. Council members. I am Brad Faltasek with ABDO. You hire us as the independent auditors each year to perform your audit. You're required to have an independent audit performed under state statute. So that's what we're hired to come in and do. So what I handed out prior to the meeting was the presentation that we'll go through tonight. We've also put together the financial statements, and that Jeremy has the copy of that if you want to peruse that at some point. So that's where our opinion is, and we are, this is where you'd find all the financial information in that report. So the presentation I handed out earlier is just a high level summary of what's in there. We'll just go through the results of all your funds this year, as well as kind of our responsibilities, your responsibilities, and results of the audits. So the first page of that, the auditor's opinion and the Minnesota Lien Compliance report. So the first one, the independent auditor's opinion, that's where we're issuing an unmodified or clean opinion on your financial statements. So that's saying that we believe everything in your financial statements is presented materially accurate and in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So that's the opinion you're looking for when you have an independent auditor's independent audit performed on your financial statements. So that's good. The one next to that, the Minnesota Lien Compliance letter. The state auditor requires us to go through a series of checklists as well to make sure you're following specific state statutes related to deposits, how you make sure you're depositing or investing in proper investments. If you're entering any new contracts, doing any bidding or quoting, make sure you're doing that following statute. So different things like that that we test as part of our financial statement audit, and we are not reporting any non-compliance under those statutes as well. So good reports on both sides. As part of going through the audit process, if there's anything in the controls that we think you should be aware of as a council that maybe lack segregation of duties or something like that, maybe one person's handling a transaction from beginning to end, those types of things, we'll put them as a finding in here, not necessarily that we found anything inappropriate or anything, but just so you're aware that you make sure you're looking at financial information on a monthly basis and make sure things make sense. If you have a question on something, make sure you ask about it, because there is a limited segregation of duties just because of the number of staff you have. So you want to be getting good answers. So that's really where both of these come from, the preparation of the financial statements. We prepare the financial statements as part of our process and going through the audit. But they are management's responsibility to prepare those financial statements. So we have that finding in probably 85 to 90% of the audits we perform. So it's not uncommon. Neither one of these are really uncommon. And then the limited segregation of duties. And that just comes down to the number of staff you have. You can't fully segregate all the transactions that go through the city. Now we'll get into the do you have any questions on any of those? Otherwise, we'll get into the results. We're good? Okay, so the general fund fund balances on this first slide on page four, we have the black kind of bar at the bottom is your fund balance policy. And you adopted a policy a number of years ago now saying that you wanted to have that fund balance policy in between 35 and 50%. You didn't want to fall below that range. Over the last number of years here, the 4 years we have presented, you're at that 80, your range from 85 to 75%, finished this last year at 74.5%. So staying pretty steady, no really ups or downs. So that's what we're looking for as auditors. And then the top line, that yellowish line, that's your budget for that specific year. So that 75 or 74.5% is based on your actual fund balance this year, which where the line is, and that's a percentage of your following year's budget. So how much do you have on reserve right now in your general fund to support next year's budget? And you have about 75%. So that's good. Page five, general fund budget to actual. So we have your final budget amounts compared to your actual, and then the variances there. See your revenues, the first line on there, revenues were $154,000 over budget from what you budgeted. You don't budget LGA, so that's about $90,000 of that variance. You received public safety aid this past year that was found out about after everyone completed their budget, so that was about $24,000. And then you don't budget the county road aid as well, which is about $10,000 you'd be receiving from the county. So that kind of makes up almost all of that. Expenditures, $116,000 over budget. Most of that was some capital that was purchased out of the general fund that was supported by some transfers coming in from the capital purchases fund and I believe another fund as well, the fire fund. Transfers at the bottom there, there's transfers in $71,000. That was to support those capital purchases. And then we had transfers out of $163,000. You had budgeted $76,000 of those transfers. Then you had another transfer of the transfer that LGA out into the capital purchases fund as well. So overall, with all those variances, ended with an increase in fund balance of about $30,000 to finish at $480,000 in fund balance. And again, that was about 74% of your 2024 budget. Next slide is where all your revenues are coming in from for your general fund. So the majority is coming from property taxes. Those first three bars, it shows the last 3 years, you've had steady increases in your tax revenues in the general fund. Intergovernmental, went up a little bit into the 2023 due to the public safety aid again, and then charges for services and stayed pretty much the same. That other is related to the transfers in. That's where that jump came in. Expenditures by type, so general government, public safety, public works, culture and rec. Other, you can see general government had a slight decline this past year. Public safety stayed about the same. Public works, culture and rec had a little bit of a jump there with some repairs to the hall. And then other, again, that increases with those transfers out, the LGA. Special revenue fund, you have the capital, the cable television. So special revenue funds are funds that either have a committed or restricted revenue source. So you, that the revenue you receive for the cable is must be spent on the cable. So that is assigned for that purpose. So pretty much a break-even year with an increase of about $1,500 over last year. Your debt service funds, you had two debt service, you do have two debt service funds outstanding. Both of these funds have paid off their debt. You can see the fund 311, the 2018 fire truck fund, that's actually in a deficit. We just recommend closing these funds. So you will need to, at some point, come up with about $23,000 to close that fund out because it came up short of paying of the assets to pay its debt service requirements. So that at some point, probably going through this year, going through this coming year's budget, if it hasn't already been budgeted for, figure out where that money is going to come from to close this fund out.
I got to look at that, Brad.
Okay.
It should have been closed out.
At the end of last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll look at that.
All right. The next is we capital project funds, your capital purchases fund, and your fire equipment fund. So both of these funds, the capital purchases, the only real activity in this fund is you transferred money out of this fund into the general fund, as well as part to the water fund. And then LGA was transferred back into this fund. That's really the only, and I guess interest earnings in that fund, but it's really the only activity you had in that fund. And the fire equipment fund, a decrease in fund balance of $17,000, that was related to transfers to the general fund to help support the capital that was purchased out of the general fund. The water fund, that will get an enterprise fund. So the water, sewer, and storm funds are all enterprise funds, which means they should be generating enough revenue through charges for services to support themselves. So this top chart, all the charts on these three funds will be the same. The top chart shows the cash receipts in the kind of orangish bar compared to your cash disbursements, and in the yellow, and then in the black is your debt service requirements. So what we really want to see is those operating receipts being able to cover both your disbursements plus your debt service requirements. So you can see starting in 2022, 2023, the debt expenses have gone up. Repairs, different things have happened in the last couple of years. And you haven't been meeting that. So you can see the effect of that in your cash balance in that lower chart. In 2021, you had $162,000 in cash. It was one of your highest cash for your water fund in a number of years. Then since then, it has steadily increased. So Jeremy mentioned earlier, the debt's going to be coming off, about $40,000 going to be coming off in 2020, after 2024. So that might free up some of that too. But in the end, we always like to make sure, take a look at your rates and see if that, if expenses are going to continue as they are right now, maybe want to take a look at your rates to be able to support both operations and debt. Sewer fund has ended the year with $303,000 in cash, and that lower chart has stayed above $300,000 over the last 4 years, at least presented here. Had quite a few, if you look on the top chart, 2022 had a lot of repairs out of the sewer funds. You can see those expenditures jumped up. In 2023, you can see your receipts did meet your operating disbursements. And in past years, you had two other than 2022, but that debt again brought that over. So you can see again, the effect of your cash decreased slightly below that. Then your stormwater fund, the majority of the expenses coming out of here are debt service requirements. You can see the black there, there's a little bit of operating expenditures each year with maintenance and stuff, but the majority that's coming out of here is your debt service requirements. So you have been supporting that with revenues that have come in, with your receipts that have come in. You had a slight decline again this year, but most years you are supporting that with your operating receipts. The next slide, your cash balances by fund type. So each one of these bars is your last 21, 22, 23, your cash balances. You can see it's held pretty steady. I guess over the last 3 years, you've decreased overall cash in the city of about $100,000, but it finished this year just under $1.6 million in cash. So I'd see this is showing pretty steady overall cash in the city has stayed pretty steady over the last 3 years. So that's good. Then we get into some comparisons with your city with other cities across the state of Minnesota and also other cities in Carver County. So the orange bar on each one of these charts is going to be class four cities across the state of Minnesota. So other cities of similar size and population. In class four cities are cities of zero population to 10,000 in population that report on a gap basis or accrual basis, like you do. Some cities that are under 2,500 in population can report on a cash basis. So this excludes all those. It's all the ones reporting on a accrual basis. So those are the class four cities. The yellow in each one of these is all the other cities in Carver County. And then the black line is city of Hamburg. So you see your tax rates are quite a bit higher than the other cities on average in Carver County, as well as other class four cities across the state. I would say your population is towards the bottom part of that class four cities going up to 10,000 in population. So you can see you can't spread the tax around as much as some of those 8,000-9,000 population cities can. Taxes per capita, I guess going back to the tax rate. So you are going in a positive direction where it's going down. So that's something positive to take out of that. Your taxes per capita have held pretty steady over the years. So, but still a little bit higher than your peers. Next slide, your debt per capita. Again, I think the main point here is that has been steadily declining since 2020. This takes a look at all debt. So it's looking at your water and sewer stormwater debts too. So, but you are a little bit higher than your peers in this category as well. Again, can't really spread it around like the others can. The next slide, your current expenditures and capital expenditures per capita. So as far as current expenditures per capita, this takes capital out, takes debt service expenditures out, just looking at your day-to-day operating type expenditures. Pretty close to other class four cities across the state in this category. Still a little bit higher, but again, with class cities in Carver, we're looking at all cities in Carver, so a little difference there. And then the other one's the capital. So that's gonna fluctuate from year to year. The last slide we have is your water fund debt service coverage ratio and the sewer fund coverage ratio. So this takes a look at, kind of the same thing we looked at the other charts. Are you generating enough cash operating receipts to cover your debt service requirements after your operating disbursement? So you can see in none of the years presented here, you've been able to cover, back in 2020 and 2021, you were at that 100%. So those were, but then since then, 2022 and 23, you have went below that 100% coverage mark, but you do have some other funds coming in to those. Then your sewer had a lot of expenditures in 2022, dropped that way down, but you're back up to right around a 0% there, but still we like to see at that 100% those categories. So that is all. I think the main takeaways is a clean opinion, clean independent opinion on your financial statements. I think the once things you need to look at is the debt service, and Jeremy's looking into that, and then that, closing that fund, and then your water and sewer rates, and how to cover those debt service requirements.
Council, any questions? So the bigger report that I think Jeremy, did you email that out already to everybody? Right? Yeah. So if you have trouble sleeping at night, pull that out. Unless you're like Brad and I who like to deal with numbers, then that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Then that's a Sunday morning thing to pull out and get all excited about the day.
Like 70 pages, isn't it?
Yeah, 71.
Yeah.
So you can get through it in a night.
No questions?
No, not here. Uh-huh. Pretty straight. Good independent audit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Try to stay dry when you go outside.
I'll try. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay, we'll move on then to old city business, the Trebish litigation.
Just to let you know that update on that, everything's been filed now, recorded at the county. Well, it should be official. I don't know when it'll show if anybody's looking at go on the GS website, but that'll probably take some time before that gets updated. But everything's been recorded there. Hopefully the fence will, we're hoping to have it up this week, but the weather has not cooperated, so probably next week, fence will go up. Cool. Good deal. Give an update on that.
Also, any questions?
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Move on then to the park bathroom remodel.
All right, so we're coming along on that. Have the rough-ins done, plumbing's done, so we hope to have the bathrooms open by May. So, and typically mid-May is when we open the bathrooms anyways, just with the weather, but this year seems to be, well, hope it stays warm, but seems to be a little warmer this year. But the goal is to finish. And have it open for May. Couple of things that we came across, there's pictures in your pamphlet. And the first thing is there's, we had Miller's draw up a diagram, you know, showing the area of the walking path there in the park that we would like to place. And then if you go to the picture, you'll see where they did the cement slab. Is what we'd like to do is replace that all and run it right here. Yeah, we're looking to possibly redo that, and the thought process would be is we could tie it in with the street project. That gives us a little time to look at and see where the total costs are going to come in and look at and see if we have the money available to get it done. So that's one thing we were looking at. And then the other thing, the other pictures are, that shows the asphalt that is around the open shelter there. And me and Jason were talking as if there was, if there's any need why we need asphalt all the way around that building versus like in the front of it towards the street, we would keep that because that's part of the path. You know, you still have the handicap path that goes down to the playground. But the thought process would be, because it's getting to the point where it's going to need to be replaced. And our thought process was just get rid of it. Remove it. Plant grass there. A lot cheaper to maintain. I hope I'm not stepping on any residents' toes that want it that way or like it. But I guess we're open to input. But the thought there is just to get rid of it.
One thing you might want to keep in mind on the south side of that open park shelter is you'll have to put a rain gutter on there.
We did talk about that.
That'll run off and
right.
Destroy your grass. So yeah. My recommendation for that is I would run a rain gutter towards the west, towards a duck pond, and maybe find a way, like even underground, pilot towards that duck pond. Yep. And even if it just daylights out somewhere, but that gives a nice good spot for it to run off.
Yeah, they're all flooded, you know, we did talk about that, so it won't wash out there. Yeah, so that would be the
yes.
Council, any thoughts on getting rid of the asphalt around the shelter? Obviously, the path will stay, but.
I don't know. I guess I don't know why it's there.
I don't either.
And I mean, I know I don't want to replace it.
Well, that's what we figured. Grass would be cheaper, you know, over the years.
What's the condition of the rest of the path? Because if we're going to tear that,
the rest of the path's pretty good.
Okay.
The worst part of the path is what we have drawn up in the agenda here is that running from basically kind of the duck pond area towards the bathrooms. The paths in that area is the worst of it because you can tell there are a lot of trees in there in the roots. Mm-hmm. You know, but the rest of the path looks pretty good, and Jason will be slurring.
Okay.
You know, that path too.
Because, I mean, do we have an idea how long, say, where this cutoff is from this 52 feet to where this ties in with that 46-foot section? How long is that all the way to the parking lot out there? Do we have an idea?
I don't know. We just felt it was in good enough shape that we didn't need it. You know, doing it all the way. Is that what you're getting at, Mitch?
Well, yeah. I mean, if they're already there digging half of it, they're going to be rutting up the grass anyways. Right. It's like, well, what's it cost to...
But when we looked at it and we met with Warf, he thought it was... That was in good shape, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really have any problems with moving that stuff around there.
No, neither.
I mean, Jason's got to buy enough grass seed to do those ball diamonds anyways, so...
He already did, and it probably all washed up again.
You know what I mean? I mean, like, if we're going to be reseeding a bunch of the park, might as well do that while we're at it this summer. Yeah. Hopefully get a rain to grow it.
You know, the thought process is when, if we redo the part of the walking path there, at that time when Miller's comes to tear that out, we'd have to remove this too.
Right.
Do it at the same time.
Makes sense. If there's no objection, move forward with that. Unless somebody has an objection. No? Okay. Then the next thing we have is the crack sealing and seal coating bids.
So we obtained bids for what we've talked the last couple meetings about doing the replay. We've talked to many other towns and no one seems to have any issues with doing the replay. You know, if you look, the problem is you can't really get another bid because from what we understand, Bargain is the only one that does it in kind of the 5-state area here that does that product. But the recommendation there is you were looking at basically anywhere from, was it about 29 to 30,000 for seal coating? And it was roughly about 17,000, 18,000. 17,800. And like we said before, now's the time to do it. Kind of them first, after 2 years, put it down and then hit it again. But then about the 7th through 15, those years, then you probably want to seal coat. So it's not that we want seal coat the roads, but it just, this would save us some cost and buy us some time of seal coating. And if, you know, like we said, if now there's not a better time to try it than now. Because we do all the streets we are looking to, you know, protect have just been done the last couple of years. So kind of our recommendation from staff is to go with Bargain and do the replay versus seal coating. And then with that, we got some crack filling to do on basically David or Donald and Maria and Louisa, and then by the baseball field. So we got two bids for that. Bargain came in at, for the areas we were looking to do, came in at over $10,000. And Gopher State came in at $6,924. Basically, from staff's recommendation point, what we look at is awarding the crack sealing to Gopher State and then doing the replay with Bargain.
Collins, any questions for staff? Any thoughts on the bids?
No, I mean, I think it looks good. I mean, I'm willing to give the replay a try. I mean, if Hutchins using it, I mean,
yeah, they've been using it for years. Cologne's using it now.
Yeah, it's not like we're pulling anything.
And nobody's had anything bad to say about it. So,
yeah, it's a pretty substantial savings.
Yeah.
Want all the, both of those in one motion?
Yeah, you could.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the bid from Gopher State for $6,924 for the crack ceiling. And also the bid for replay on the streets listed in the bid from Bargain for $17,788.
Second it.
It's moved and seconded to award the crack ceiling for to Gopher State for $69.24, and then to do the replay on the streets listed in the agreement for the Bargain for $17,798. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. Move on then to our 2024 street improvement project on Brad Street.
Okay, before I jump into the bid results, one other thing me and Jason were talking about was, and we've been talking about it a while, about exercising gate valves, exercising curb stops, and those things. He's found a guy that has a machine that does it. He charges $150 an hour. He can do about two of them an hour. Just for this year, you know, our thought process, it would be a budget item. But for this year, we thought about doing the Brad Street. We're having him come in, work the valves on Brad Street, make sure we don't have any problems. Because if we do have problems, I mean, obviously now would be the time to get them fixed before we, you know, redo the street.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, smart.
So, you know, we were probably looking at, what did he say? There were eight gate valves on Brad Street. So we're looking at about $600.
Yeah, that's
good. I mean, and if you've ever, yeah. I mean, you can tell Jason to go out, and Stephen probably can jump in, but you could probably tell Jason to go out and turn them eight. But just think of it, if a machine can only do two of them in an hour, that tells you what it's like to work them valves. And they are like 20 to 30 turns. Mm-hmm. They are not fun.
That's if you can get the key on the nut, too.
That, too.
I say for $600, do it before the
Yeah,
yeah, and that was our thought process because, I mean, it's something we probably should start doing anyways. More you do it, the easier it is then,
right,
too. So that would be the first thing is just to approve that to have the gate valves on Brad Street exercise.
Make a motion to have the gate valves on Brad Street exercise before the project.
Second it.
So moved and seconded to have the gate valves on Brad Street exercise before the project. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes.
All right. So then the bid results. So got three bids. First off, I'll just report the engineer's estimate was $456,515. William Miller's came in at $384,775.30. GMH Corporation out of Chaska came in at $421,694.19. And Valley Paving out of Shakopee came in at $486,985.60. So recommendation is to basically award the bid to Will Miller and Sons.
I'll make that motion.
So just basically, Tim, you could just to a motion to approve 2000 resolution 2024-05.
Oh, geez. I make a motion to approve resolution number 2024-05 for the street improvement bid. So to Willie Miller.
Motion Poplar, second it.
It's moved and seconded to approve resolution number 2024-05. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. Move on then to new city business, XL Energy Transmission Line Inspection Notice.
All right, so you got an inspection notice, and that's basically we They're going to be coming in doing line inspections in town for Xcel Energy. And also at that same time, they're going to be coming in and trimming trees. One thing I wanted to bring up is we have a ash tree that they'll be trimming in the park, and Xcel had asked if they wanted us to cut it down. Our thought would be to cut it down just because you have the emerald ash borer coming, and if they're going to trim it and it's going to look like, I don't know,
toothpick.
What do you call them? Japanese trees, you know?
Bonsai tree?
Bonsai tree or something, you know? Our thought then would be to just take it down and then put a new tree in its place.
Yeah, they're going to offer.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it'd be foolish not to take them up on that.
And then I don't know if you have any preference, otherwise I can just leave it to Jason. But if you do have a preference, what kind of tree you'd like to put in its place, let us know.
I mean, I probably wouldn't put an ash back in.
Probably not.
This is fine. Speaking out loud here. Feel free to jump in at any time, anyone.
Second that.
Move on then to the building inspector RFP.
So just something to think about. We've been with MinSpec for 20 plus years. If it's something we want to consider looking at, doing a request for proposals for a new building inspector.
I think we should.
I've been a lot of rumblings from some of the contractors.
I think we should look into it.
Yes. I mean, worst case scenario keeps them honest, I guess, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
If it's been 20 years, what's it hurt to have a little competition?
Okay. Yep. Unless there's any objection, I'll put that together.
No, sounds like a plan.
Okay. So the next thing, city account on social media. So Jason was just wondering if we should set up an account so that way we can just at least notify people of things going on in town, like we're flushing hydrants today, sweeping streets, yada, yada, keep it low key. I mean, I've always been, I'm not a big fan of social media. I get the goods and bads of it. But I said I would bring it forth to council to get your opinions on it. And if I remember right, I don't think you can turn off comments.
I think you can.
You can.
You can, but I don't think we as a city can because of First Amendment rights.
Oh, good point.
So that would be like my only worry. I don't want to get into these people commenting just things that are not necessary, you know, when really we're doing that webpage to notify you. But
I mean, I guess I can see the pros of it, you know, because we only do a newsletter every once in a while and we try to cram as much as we can, which we do a good job of, I believe, but just like there's only so much you can say on a two-sided piece of paper where if like we're working gate valves this week, expect intermittent water delays on Brad Street.
Exactly.
You know, I can see the positive of that, but to like your point, all of a sudden we're sitting here sifting through, you know, comment after comment, hate mail after hate mail. It's like, well, we can't.
Is it like anything against your First Amendment if they can message, but they can't leave a comment publicly?
Maybe can we reach out to other cities that have it and see what they say?
Yeah, I can, because I know Norwood has a page. Right. So,
because I know there is, I forget what it's called, but there is something that town's residents can sign up on, because like when there's a missing dog or a dog roaming around town or a cat or vice versa, or like random bikes laying somewhere that
like next door.
Yeah. Next door, my next door or something like that, that people already in town have. And I don't know how I got signed up for it, but I get the emails on one email account every once in a while about stuff. But I mean, if that's is going to replace that, I don't know. But that allows, I mean, I haven't really seen anything negative on there, but I guess I don't go on there all the time either.
Good.
So, but it's something to think about, but yeah. I'd probably start with just checking with other cities. I mean, I don't
really see what you can and can't do.
Right. Yeah. Right. To see what you can and can't do. Cause I mean, I'll start
with the league.
Right. Yeah. Don't want to rule it out right away just for the easy use of throwing out there. Like, hey, right. Like,
yeah. Cause it would be nice and it would help staff too, to, you know, instead of when the water's out, you know, they can go and go, oh, flushing hydrants. Okay.
Right.
All right. You know, then we don't have to get 15 calls, you know?
Yeah.
And if it becomes unmanageable, you can always turn it off.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
I guess
so. Yeah. We can put something out that if negativity continues, that
yeah,
we may have to look at alternative ways of communicating back to the newsletter.
Any negative comments go directly to Jeremy.
All right, so let's do some research on it, see what other cities are doing, how they're handling both the positive and negative feedback from that.
Versus the electric sign. The last thing I got is the electronic sign. You may have seen that one side's not working. So we've talked to the manufacturer. They don't make parts for it anymore. They're not parts for it anymore. So that's why it's been the way it's been for the length of time. They said they can come out and maybe try to do some troubleshoot, but they basically said about the only thing they probably could replace is if it's like a power supply or something. So I guess the thing is me and Jason have talked, we would try to troubleshoot it ourselves a little bit over the phone with them. But if we can't get anywhere on that, do we want to look at them coming to look at it? Or what do we do? I know the one side works, the other side don't.
There's a charge for them to look at it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like when you bring your car with a check engine light, they're going to charge for $300 to
pick up the check. Right.
Just to tell you what's wrong.
The computer says nothing. Thank you. So, that was our thought. Is it like, I mean, because the impression I got is they're like, yeah, good luck. It's how old and yeah.
How old is the sign?
Oh, it is probably, what was it, 08? I'm trying to think. Yeah, so I think it's 15 years old.
I would say if you guys can troubleshoot it.
Well, that's what we would thought. I mean, it don't never hurts.
I mean, we do the newsletter. You're looking into a Facebook, social media.
Right.
What's on that sign is usually just
right
the time and, yeah, temperature.
Yeah.
It's a nice sign, but, like, what's it cost to replace that thing new?
Right.
Yeah, like $30,000.
Right. At least. You know, I'd rather have a nice big sign lit up outside of town that just says "Welcome to Hamburg."
Because I think even like,
yeah, I don't know,
like with the baseball club, I believe you guys had to basically update the scoreboard, right?
Because yeah,
once you reach a certain age, they don't stock the parts anymore, and then you're
right.
Yeah, you know, it's what I like to call is their throwaway society.
Yep. I'll get you a reason to buy new signs after
15 years. Right? It's like a punk.
They made signs last forever. I mean, they'd be out of business.
Right. So that's the update on that. So we'll try and troubleshoot and see if we can get anywhere. But and maybe ask them what it would cost them to come out. But I'm just afraid they're going to charge like $1,500 or something to come out.
Just to tell you it's junk.
Yeah.
Where are they at? So, if anybody said anything or wondered, you know, what's going on with the sign, we know about it. We've known about it a while. It's just we've been trying to look into
that's
it.
That's a Daktronics.
Yeah.
So it's on Brookings.
Yeah.
So I've been sending right from there.
Yep.
Yeah. That should be cheap.
Yeah. That's why we're like.
These things have an hour round trip.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on then to city council reports. Councilman Olsen.
Just a couple of things. The toothpick bandit's back.
Yes, we noticed that.
They're all over, two different colors. We don't know who you are, but boy, do we want to know. So stop that, please.
What?
Those little toothpick flosser things.
Yeah.
You ever go down by the park and we're like, you can drain your sewer for your camper in there, and then all around that street, there's flossers that people just buy by the
bag
and throw them out all there around. And then the city cleans them up, or the city street guy cleans them up, and they're right back there again the next following week. And
they've been there first
social there as media long as I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
So
who are you?
Yeah, we don't know who you are, but
we got you on camera.
Gotcha.
We even did try to look the one day me and Jason at the cameras. because they weren't in one spot. And then the next day they were all here and we went through the camera and couldn't find anybody. We figured that probably just washed.
Right.
There.
Well, but whoever you are a model citizen for your dentists. The other thing, I guess, I don't know if we can look into this, but when Commissioner Fahey sat here, he said, if we have any questions to ask him. And I'm sure everyone else in town got their tax thing from the county about your, you know, property tax and stuff and what you're all paying for. And I totally forgot to bring mine. So I apologize for that. So I can't give an exact number, but if you look under there, we pay a certain amount to the Met Council. And then we pay a certain amount for Metro Mosquito Control. So then where is our Metro Mosquito Control when we're paying for our own?
I don't know. Do they come out here? Because like, I know, like, I live by a mud lake, mm-hmm. and they do come by in the helicopter.
I was going to say they fly.
I mean, they.
Okay. Okay, I haven't seen
them in Hamburg. I don't know.
Right. And just ask a question for that, because I mean, if we're going to be considered a metro city.
Right.
You know, and then the other thing is the Metro Transit, which I don't expect a bus to bring me from the Twins game out here. But I mean, that's something that's probably out of our control.
That's part of, yeah.
But I mean, maybe there is some mosquito.
Very light rail project come up.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at least bring me to Chaska or something, you know? No, you'll pick me up from there. But yeah, I don't know. I just saw that and I'm like, okay, well, I know we pay for our own mosquito control in town. Well, if we're paying X amount per resident for a Metro Mosquito Control, does that include the city of Hamburg, the farthest city away from everybody else? I don't know.
I'll look into that. I don't know. Has anybody ever seen that?
I've heard. I've seen
them do like you said, the swamps and like lands, but I've never seen them go beyond low areas. Yeah.
They might not do anything in Hamburg because there's nothing to do here.
There's no lake.
There's your water retention pond, but that probably doesn't meet their criteria.
Right.
As far as size wise. I mean, they fly all over in Minnetonka and there isn't a mosquito to be found in that city. I'm not down there too often at night in the summer, but I never see the trucks driving around spraying just a couple times a month, once a month. Helicopters fly over the city and you don't find a mosquito in that city. It's incredible the amount of lakes and swamps that are in that area where I work that they don't have no mosquito issues.
Yeah. Well, I personally feel maybe we could get some of that Metro Transit money to fix kind of a 50 going out of town.
That's the other thing.
I wanted to bring that up.
I don't know.
I think that was the other thing.
I sent it to all of you. All council members, the one day I sent to Commissioner Fahey about that, you could see the ponding. It was bad. Well,
yeah,
I drove 60 miles like I always do on the way home in a pouring down rain, a clapped out focus, and I had the plane one time.
Yeah,
right.
A quarter mile from my doorstep. And you can see it coming from,
right.
you're already at the, and you can see the water coming there. And it makes, I just want to ask the question, do these not get inspected at all?
Well, there was a Carver County inspector out there before and after.
The road's supposed to be higher in the middle. And lower at the edges.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. 2%.
So, I mean, I can drive by. I inspect pressure vessels, really, but I can drive by at 60 miles an hour and say, that fails.
Right.
We had an inspector. We paid an inspector to go out there, and they passed that.
Yeah.
You can see it when they're on their base. It's like, what are you going to do with that? And we see what they did with it. But, I mean, that's unacceptable. I don't know.
It's bad.
Well, we all know who did the paving.
Yeah.
But it's like the fact that even got passed through there.
Yeah.
Right.
You shouldn't be allowed to pave like that.
I'm sure happy that we have someone else paving roads.
Exactly.
Yeah. If that's the way the finished project's going to be.
Yeah.
And a lot of that project was messed up from the word go because they should have sent out somebody to pour that road to find out how much asphalt was in there. Because I talked to the guy who was in charge of it. She's like, oh, we're supposed to reclaim 7-8 inches. There's 15 in here. Like, this should have been poured. So they were doing way more work on that road than they should have. So when you go down that far and start messing with the base, that takes quite a bit of moisture and compaction to get that back to where it needs to be to put a good layer of asphalt. The asphalt is only going to form to what the base does.
Right.
So that road is screwed up from under the blacktop. The blacktop is just molding to it.
Yeah. Well, you could see when he drove through it before it was done. It was
why were we doing that?
Somebody told me,
and
they had to put it in four-wheel drive when it was dry. You know, it's like
right.
I couldn't get on there. I had to bottom out.
Yeah,
but I just can't believe how that's acceptable at all.
Yeah.
Wouldn't fly in the inspector's street, I know that.
So anyways, that's all I have is the mosquito thing. And I guess I can fire off an email to the, you know, to Mr. Fay as well about it, because there's not, we're not the only two people thinking it as we're coming into town.
Right. You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing too. I mean, if the more of us do email or contact the commissioner, that'll help more impact than just having Jeremy.
Right. This one fly in Waconia. This one fly in Victoria.
No. Yeah, also that's a good idea. I'll send them a message.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Councilman Poplar.
Nothing here.
Councilwoman Weber.
Nothing.
Councilman Tracy.
Nothing here.
Two things I have is we'll get a newsletter out this week. So if there's anything anybody wants to put into it, let us know. And then the next mayor's in time will be May 6th from 5 to 7.
Move to adjourn.
Second it.
That was a long delay for a second. So we've been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Falzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Hamburg City Council for April 16, 2024, adjourned at 20:03.